More cuts are coming at Hawker Beechcraft. Sebring's LSA show ends with a fatal crash. And Jerry Arola's lawyer says his client is a scapegoat. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, January 26th, 2009. Workers at Hawker Beechcraft who felt relief at escaping almost 500 job cuts at the company last year got some bad news Wednesday. The company is working on plans for further cuts to be announced in a few weeks. Vice President Rich Juwenlal, who heads up human resources at HBC, did not offer any details. The Associated Press is citing a letter from Juwenlal in reporting that the company is reviewing its business in an effort to reconcile first quarter and full year 2009 production needs with the size of its workforce. Quote, I wanted to use this opportunity to assure you that we are taking every possible step to minimize the impact of the reduction on our employees, their families, and our company, unquote. Hawker Beechcraft employs more than 9,000 people, most at its plant in Wichita, Kansas. The final day of the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring, Florida, got off to a tragic start. Officials have confirmed initial witness reports to ANN that a Remus GX with two people on board, the second in a formation takeoff of two planes, crashed off the right side of the 5,200-foot runway 18 at about 7:30 a.m. yesterday morning. The pilot was killed, his passenger airlifted to an area hospital in unknown condition. Watch for updates in the text version of this story at arrow-news.net. A new chapter is being written in the story of Jerry Arola, who was widely vilified in the collapse of Silver State Helicopters a year ago. The school had been expanding rapidly, but suddenly announced on February 3, 2008, that it was closing its doors and filed for bankruptcy the following day. Roughly 2,000 students were stranded, some owing as much as $70,000 in student loans taken out to pay the school in advance. Arola was a no-show at an April court hearing into claims he cleaned out student tuition accounts less than 48 hours before filing Chapter 7. He fled Nevada and went to work as a sheriff's deputy for an Indian tribe in Texas. KLAS-TV in Las Vegas is reporting that the awkward job of representing Arola has fallen to attorney George Kalesis, who ironically is a close personal friend of Clark County, Nevada Sheriff Doug Gillespie, who won a bitter election against Arola in 2006. Kalesis says reports of the Silver State fiasco have missed some important facts. He says Arola sold most of his shares in Silver State in 2007 to new owners, left the company in sound financial condition, fought the decision to file for bankruptcy, and even tried to work with other schools where students could have finished their training. Quote, I'm not saying Mr. Arola is a victim. I'm saying Mr. Arola is not responsible for the acts they're trying to attribute to him, unquote. KLAS also reports Arola is the subject of continuing federal investigations. Business aviation interests apparently liked what they heard at the Senate confirmation hearings for Illinois Congressman Ray LaHood, chosen by President Obama to be Transportation Secretary. LaHood outlined his positions and told senators he will appoint an FAA administrator who will end the standoff with the Air Traffic Controllers Union. National Air Transportation Association President James Coyne calls the choice of LaHood a good one. Quote, the congressman has been a long-standing advocate for general aviation during his tenure in Congress, and we look forward to working with him on critical issues facing the industry, unquote. National Business Aviation Association President Ed Boland commented, quote, we have reached out to the secretary and we are confident that he and his staff will be eager to hear our ideas about aviation system modernization and other industry concerns, unquote. Senators must have liked what they heard, too. LaHood was confirmed by unanimous vote on Thursday. Disgraced former financial advisor Marcus Schrenker is claiming he has no memories of bailing out of his Piper Meridian over Alabama, leaving it to continue on to a crash in Florida on autopilot January 11th. The Associated Press reports Schrenker called the New York Post from jail last week, telling the paper, quote, I have no memory of any of it, not going to the airport, being in the air, nothing. It's just crazy. I've never even jumped out of a plane before. I sit here and stare at the walls and wonder what happened and say, how did I get here, unquote. He's also said to have told the paper he's been under psychiatric care since last year and is taking medication for bipolar disorder. Schrenker's attorney claims his client is not mentally competent to stand trial. Judge Roger Vinson responded by ordering Schrenker sent for psychiatric evaluation in Miami. Up next on ANN, NTSB finds bird strike-like damage in 1549's left engine. Will the happy ending to the Miracle on the Hudson avoid lawsuits? And Captain Sullenberger gets a hero's welcome back home. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 26th. I'm Paul Platt. The National Transportation Safety Board says the recovered left engine of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 has emerged from the Hudson River with dents consistent with bird strikes, but no obvious organic material found. The board says its initial external examination revealed dents on both the spinner and inlet lip of the engine cowling. Five booster inlet guide vanes are fractured, and eight outlet guide vanes are missing. Both engines will be boxed and shipped to the manufacturer in Cincinnati. NTSB will oversee a complete teardown, and advanced technology will be used to detect organic material not apparent during the visual examination. Some legal experts now are saying the circumstances of Flight 1549 may keep hungry lawyers at bay. Despite the efforts of one New York law firm to recruit litigants within an hour after the splashdown, so far not a single lawsuit has been filed. Justin Green, an attorney with Kreindler & Kreindler, tells the Associated Press that Flight 1549 may be an example of the rarest case where the accident is just an act of God. The national law firm is a familiar litigant in aviation cases. Chicago lawyer David Rappaport isn't so sure. He says passengers who experience later emotional issues may sue, especially if investigators find evidence of catastrophic engine failure or that the birds could have been avoided. Quote, "I fundamentally do not believe in a pure act of God air crash. I have never found one yet. And when all the data is all in here, my suspicion is this won't be one either." Unquote. If a bird strike is determined to be the probable cause, law experts say it's possible the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey could be party to a lawsuit, questioning the effectiveness of efforts to drive away waterfowl. The proximity of LaGuardia and other New York airports to a bird sanctuary may also raise some eyebrows. U.S. Airways Captain Chesley Sullenberger has avoided the spotlight since his famous role in The Miracle on the Hudson, but he agreed to address a small group in the upscale San Francisco suburb of Danville, California, where he lives, provided town leaders kept it low-key. Well, no such luck. The ceremony, which the Los Angeles Times report was held to only an hour, reportedly drew a crowd of thousands on Saturday and featured brass and marching bands, bagpipes, plaques and proclamations, speeches by local officials, and even a low pass by a P-51 Mustang. Sullenberger was praised for pulling the best imaginable outcome from a list of poor choices and for his cool under pressure. Danville Mayor Newell Arnerich commented, quote, "He had only about 121 seconds. I can't even say my name that fast, and he had to make all those decisions," unquote. The pilot's wife, Lori Sullenberger, called her husband, quote, "the most honorable man I know," unquote, and said she wasn't surprised the ordeal had ended well. When it came his turn to speak, Sullenberger was brief in his remarks. He praised the town, thanked the organizers for the celebration, and simply said, quote, "I know I speak for the entire crew when I tell you we were simply doing the jobs we were trained to do. Thank you," unquote. So far, Sullenberger has managed to dodge dozens of would-be media interviewers, but he's been less successful hiding from Wikipedia. The online encyclopedia includes a page of famous people who've lived in Danville. His name is now on that list. While there's been plenty of bad economic news from the aerospace sector lately, General Electric says a great performance by its aviation division offset losses elsewhere in the company. GE posted fourth quarter 2008 net income of $3.9 billion, according to the Business Courier of Cincinnati. That's down from $6.7 billion for the same period in 2007 and did not meet the predictions of analysts. Contributing were severe hits to GE's consumer and industrial segment, down 86% for the quarter, and a drop almost that big at GE Capital Finance. But GE Aviation contributed fourth quarter profits of $1.16 billion for the technology and infrastructure segment. That's a 21% increase over 2007. CEO Jeff Immelt commented, quote, "In a very tough environment, we delivered fourth quarter business results in line with expectations we provided in December," unquote. NASA reports it has finished hardware it will need to simulate operation of the Orion crew module and a launch abort system in the first flight test of the Ares 1 rocket. This week, the rocket elements will be shipped from Langley to NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida. This hardware and other elements from around the country will be integrated into the Ares 1X rocket. That's the first in a series of unpiloted test vehicles. The test launch is scheduled for this summer. The rocket will climb about 25 miles during a 2-minute powered flight, continuously measuring vehicle aerodynamics, controls, and performance of the first stage. The launch will culminate with a test of the separation of the first stage and deployment of the reentry parachute system. The simulated crew module is full scale. It has about the same basic shape as the Apollo module, but is significantly larger, measuring about 15 feet in diameter. The launch abort system simulator is 46 feet long. Both had to be very accurate representations of the real thing to ensure fidelity in the test. Still ahead, Dallas Love Field will finally get a makeover. British Airways will add in-flight mobile service. And what will Microsoft Flight Sim fans do now? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, January 26th. I'm Paul Plack. The International Council of Air Shows has presented Ralph Royce with its most prestigious award, the 2008 Sword of Excellence, which recognizes outstanding service, individual achievement, and personal contributions to the airshow industry. Royce has served as airshow operations instructor, displaying a keen commitment to airshow safety, in work with numerous airshow sponsoring organizations across the country. He's also credited with being an effective liaison between the airshow industry and the FAA. Royce lives in Dickinson, Texas, has been a board member of the Ron Carter Wings Over Houston Air Show for 24 years, and serves as its air boss. In summing up the appeal of air shows, Royce commented, quote, "It's great to see grandparents sharing stories with their children and grandchildren about flying a B-17 or dads showing their kids a warbird and the relevance of the aircraft in history," unquote. Dallas Love Field will soon undergo what some call a badly needed makeover. The $519 million modernization program will be managed in large part by the airport's largest tenant, Southwest Airlines. The Dallas Morning News reports changes under consideration include a thorough update for the 60s vintage terminal, built back when Love Field was the Metroplex's only large commercial airport. Also planned is a streamlined drop-off area that would allow passengers to check their bags before parking. Bob Montgomery, Southwest's VP of Properties and Facilities, told the North Dallas Chamber of Commerce last week, quote, "We'd also like to add valet service. Love Field has always been about convenience," unquote. Costs would be recouped through a steep increase in passenger facilities charges. Passengers now pay roughly $1.50 a person to fly through Love Field. That could rise to $5. That's a big jump, but it's still lower than in any other large city where Southwest flies. The new terminal would be brighter and less drab and incorporate more glass. Under a design study submitted by Dallas architects Corgan Associates, the terminal could be partially powered and heated by solar panels. There's still some argument about a people mover connecting the airport to the Dallas Area Rapid Transit Light Rail Network. Some estimates for that job top $300 million. There appears to be no dispute, however, that the terminal's four-decade-old restrooms desperately need replacement. Acknowledging what is quickly becoming an expectation for business travelers, British Airways announced on Friday it will launch On-Air's in-flight mobile communication service on its new twice-daily all-business class route from London City Airport to New York JFK. Passengers can use their own mobile phones or BlackBerries to send and receive text messages and emails and to access the Internet. Laptops with GSM data cards will also work. On-Air lets airlines allow or block voice services depending on passenger preferences. And finally today, at first glance, last week's news of 5,000 layoffs at Microsoft wouldn't seem to be an aviation story. But among the cuts are a complete shutdown of Aces Studios, the developer of the flight simulator. The history of the game dates back more than a quarter century to a time when DOS roamed the earth. It's considered Microsoft's oldest product, first shipping in 1982, years before the first Windows operating system appeared. The game's latest incarnation is Flight Simulator 10, and allows online collaboration among users who set themselves up as virtual pilots, air traffic controllers, and some who've even organized entire virtual airlines flying virtual passengers around in cyberspace. So, does this mean MSFS is dead? Well, we're not sure. Microsoft tells PC Magazine the company remains committed to the franchise. Quote, "You should expect us to continue to invest in enabling great live experiences on Windows, including flying games, but we have nothing specific to announce at this time," unquote. For serious online fans of MS Flight Simulator, this development could change lives. That is, if you call running an imaginary airline a life. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. If you saw a pilot de-ice his plane with a hammer, would you look the other way or intervene before he took off? I'm going to have that philosophical discussion with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves today. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.